Luna, maybe we'll talk about it later. Okay. Rashi in his commentary on Chumash quotes a medrash that he made popular. Lo zachar sha'am ashkim es yosef ayishkacheihu is the last pasuk in Parshas Vayeshev. Then it's v'yim ikeich nasayim yamim that Yosef was punished because he relied too much on the sha'am ashkim, so he was punished. He had to stay in jail, had to stay in prison another 2 years. So the medrash adds on a little bit over here. How do you see from the Chumash that he was punished? The Sar Mashkem had the ability to give his opinion to the Melech, but he's buddy-buddy with Parah. He can go whenever he wants. After 2 years, Parah had a chalom, and then Sar Mashkem said, "Oh, there's a fellow in prison knows how to interpret dreams. He interpreted dreams. So he had to wait till he had the dream." So where did the Chazal see that it was a punishment over here? So the Medrash adds on a little bit that he had this dream for 2 years. The Medrash adds on, he was dreaming the same thing for 2 years. And it says, this all on one night, Parah had a dream. And it goes to all the Chatumim Mitzrayim in the morning and in the afternoon. He gets the guy out of prison already. So the Medrash adds on, no, he had the dream for 2 years, every night. Every other night he had the dream. And he called all the Chatumim Mitzrayim for 2 years, and everyone was giving a different interpretation, and none of them made any sense to him. So if Parah had a dream for 2 years, and he knows that they're trying to, and the Sar Mashkin knows that they're trying to figure out what the interpretation is, so then it was taka strange that it was an einish ben hashamayim. We should loy b'derech hateva v'yishkachei. You should have remembered him. How can it be that he forgot? So that was a punishment ben hashamayim that he read in the newspaper. Parah has this disturbing dream, and they're consulting all the chatumim Mitzrayim for 2 years, and he did remember that Yosef knows how to interpret dreams. So that's how the Chazal interpreted that this was an einish ben hashamayim. Interesting. It's interesting, Yaakov Avinu is afraid to send Binyamin. Ben Yikren, awesome, all the other brothers go. Binyamin is a grown adult already, but he's afraid to send Binyamin. Ben Yikren, awesome. What does it mean, Ben Yikren, awesome? So the Gemara has a comment, Kol Adrachim Echesko Sakona. Whenever you travel on a highway, that's why you say Tfilas Aderach. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, you say Tfilas Aderach because it's a Tfila B'yes Tzora. The Ramban holds that Tfila B'chol Yom is only the Rabban, and only Tfila B'yes Tzora is their Raisa. So if a person senses when he goes on a highway that he's a little bit B'sakon, he's a little bit nervous, then you say Tfilas Aderach. He said that he used to commute all the time between Boston and New York, so he always said Tfilas HaDerech until he switched. He used to go by train, then he started going by plane. So after he started going a few times by plane, he didn't feel nervous at all. So once he got used to it, he stopped saying Tfilas HaDerech. He thought that you only say Tfilas HaDerech if you're a little bit nervous about the trip. It's a din of a tefila b'yes tzor. That's what the Chazal say. Kol adroch mecheskes takonim hasot mekatreg. What it has to do asat mekatrek b'shas asakana. So the Gemara in Exubis in the third parak has a lot about kam lebe derabine. So the din of kam lebe derabine is if you have a chi of misa it patas from mam, and if you have a chi of malchus for you also machleis amir nachachamim, we assume malchus also patas from mam. What about koris? Does koris pata from mam? So the Gemara in Baba Kama has later that's machleis am dechuni ben akana nachachamim. Dechuni ben akana hayosis yamikipurim. Kishabbos, just like a serv kedisha shel chaver of the Shabbos is kam levi derabine. That's a mishnah. Burned down my next door neighbor's barn on Shabbos. It's a malacha. I'm chayv misa, even if they don't give me the punishment. So you say that's tana de bechiski. You say kam levi derabine, even if he doesn't get the yonish. So the same. And chunim yarakana ha'ayayse. So yom kippurim kishabbos and yom kippur, even if he doesn't get malchus, but he's chayv kares. So kares also patas kam levi derabine. What would Rav Nechunya Ben HaKonah say? We don't pass like Rav Nechunya Ben HaKonah. What would he say if it would only be Misa B'dei Shemayim? Misa B'dei Shemayim is lower. That's how the Bavli holds. Misa B'dei Shemayim is less than Koris. David Miluim in the beginning of the Sefer quotes that there's a Yerushalmi seems to say the reverse, that Misa B'nei Shemayim is worse than Koris. But the Babli, the end of Moed Katan, says that Koris, a person, is supposed to die by 50, Misa B'nei Shemayim dies by 60, Misa B'nei Shemayim is less. So the Babli has Machlek, has Habai V'Rava. What would Rabbi Nechunya Merakana say, whether Misa B'nei Shemayim patas or not? So one opinion, I think it's Rava, one opinion of Gemara is that there's a Xerishava Asan. It says by, where's the original Pasuk of Kam Lebe the Rabbinate by Dmei Velodis? Lo ye Asan, if the Isha doesn't get killed, Kinotza Anoshim, Noku Ishar, Vyotzel Adel. Lo ye Asan, Anish Yanish. If the Isha doesn't lose her life, even though the fetus lost its life, there was a miscarriage, but there's no Misa for that. So it says the word osan in connection with kam lebi de rabmine, and it says the word osan over here pen yukreno osan by misa v'dei shamayim. So you see that misa v'dei shamayim also makes kam lebi de rabmine, just like Koris and just like Mrs. Bezin. Who's talking about misa v'dei shamayim? Pashu pshat, we thought he's going to get into an accident. So the answer is, an accident can happen in the kitchen, can happen in the bedroom. There are people who die by accident, so what does it have to do with the drachim? So the Chazal said, no. Penya grenu asam baderch kos kol ha-drachim echeskes tarkanam ha-sotan mekatreg b'shas ha-sakona. Yankov Avinu was concerned, maybe Binyamin did some avera for which he deserves misa b'dei shemayim, and now they may get him because the sotan is mekatreg b'shas ha-sakona when you go on the highway. Interesting, the way the Netziv points this out in his commentary on the Shiltas, on this week's Seder. And then he continues further. Yehuda says, Anochi Erevenu. He tells the father, I will be an Orev. What do you mean an Orev? So the Mishnah in the end, the Baba Basra, talks about the Dinam of Orev. It's a whole Siman of Shulchan Aruch Orev. Orev means the cosigner. If the loiva borrows money from the malva, the loiva goes to the bank and he wants to borrow $100,000 to buy a house. The bank, a yeshiva guy, why should the bank lend the money? Who says that he has any credit? He may never pay up the chayv. So if someone else, let's say his father is going to co-sign, his father will sign, in case my son doesn't have money to pay, I'll pay the money. So that's called an orif. So the Gemara says, how do you know there's a chiyuv for the orif to pay? The orif never got the money. The loiva got the money. Maybe only the loiva is mukhiv. Who says the orif is mukhiv to pay? So the Gemara quotes the psukim from Mishlei. If you signed as a co-signer for someone else, you did a stupid thing. I know a fellow, when he was single, now he's married with a whole bunch of children, when he was single, he had a whole bunch of roommates, all chevra, single guys, and one of them was from a wealthy family in America. They were in Eretz Yisrael. And the kid from the wealthy family borrowed a fortune of money from the bank. The roommate didn't realize that this is the shtick that he does all the time. He borrows a fortune of money, someone has someone else sign as a co-signer, then he disappears and he doesn't pay the chayv. So he borrowed and he thought, the nice guy, his roommate, so he signed as a co-signer. And then the wealthy kid disappeared and the family didn't want to pay the money because he does it every other month. He borrows money and he gets someone else as a co-signer and they held this guy responsible to pay all the money. So he had a skedaddle, so he left Eretz Yisrael and ran to America. But he can't go, and he's chalashing to live in Eretz Yisrael. So he had to pay up a good percentage of the chayiv until he was able to go back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's what it says in Mishlei, B'ni emarafta l'reyecha, if you signed as a co-signer, you did a stupid thing, kaita l'zak kapecha, no kashted b'imrei picha, you fell in, never agreed to be a co-signer. So the Gemara says, you see from Mishlei that whoever signs as a co-signer is believed to pay. So then the Gemara says, well, what do you have to learn from Mishlei? Learn from over here. It says in the Chumash, Anochi Erevenu. So the Gemara says, no, Anochi Erevenu, that's not an Orev. He was a Loive. He was a Shoel. He's not an Orev. No. Yehuda says, I'll be responsible for Binyamin. I'll watch over Binyamin. I'll see to it that he comes back. And if he doesn't come back, well, he's a co-signer. He's not a co-signer. He's a loiva or a shoel. He's borrowing Binyamin from the father. And he says, the shoel is chai b'yonsen, I'll see to it that I bring Binyamin back. So the Gemara rejects it. You can't learn out from Binyamin. You can't learn out from Yehuda that he uses the verb, anochi ervenu, because it doesn't mean oriv. But the Gersas HaShiltis, Shiltis has, from the days of the Geoinim, He was not one of the Goynim. The Goynim means the Rosh Yeshiva is Goyn Yankov. The Yeshiva was called Goyn Yankov. Whoever was the president, the fundraiser, was the Rosh Yeshiva is Goyn Yankov. He was not the fundraiser for the Yeshiva. He lived in the days of the Goynim. So the Shiltas has the Girsas HaGoynim. You can't learn from Yamim because that's an Orv Kablon. That's an Orv Kablon. Orv Kablon means like this. Usually the din is, and God min ha'orv tchilo. If someone borrows money from the bank, and you have a co-signer, so the bank is the malva, so the ain government harv tchila is the mishnah in the end of Bob Basi. You're not allowed to go to the ori first. You have to first go to the loiva to see if he can pay. And if he doesn't have any assets to collect, then you have a right to go to the ori. Orif Kablan is that he signs along, he says he'll be the co-signer, and he says, you have a right to, if you want, you can collect from me first. The Gemara, the Girsas HaGoynim was that he was an Orv Kablon. How was he an Orv Kablon? He wasn't an Orv at all. He was the Loivo, the Shoyl. Why is he an Orv Kablon? So that's what the Nitziv says, that the Chazal understood the whole story differently. Yaakov Avinu was concerned, maybe Binyamin have violated an Aver for which he deserves Nisib Dei Shamayim. And Kol Adrachim Mecheska Sakana, Hasatam Mekatrik B'Shas HaSakana. So the Satan will come to collect Binyamin's life as a punishment of Nisa B'dei Shemaim, Asan, from Kamalevi de Rabmine. And then Yehuda says, Anochi Aben, I'll be the Orev Kablan. If the Satan comes to collect Binyamin's life, I'll volunteer, he should take my life. It's a whole different reading of the Psukim. And they understood that it's literally an Orev. He says, I'll be the Orev. If the Malach HaMavis comes, if the Satan comes to take Binyamin's life, I'll volunteer my life instead. Is there such a thing? That's the tale of two cities like that, no? If a person did an aver, he deserves an einish. Someone else can say, give me the einish. So apparently there is such a thing. The Gemara says that's when a parent dies, so in the first year, when the children say, oh, be divrei Torah, in the name of the parent, they're supposed to say, hareini kaparas mishkovo. What does that mean? Hareini kaparas mishkovo. So Rashi writes on the Gemara, I accept upon myself any punishment that the Bezon Shalmaila wants to give to my father, I accept that they should give me the punishment. Mishum kibur aviyim, we should accept the punishment, we should suffer, instead of the parents, and the parents should be off the hook. Apparently there is such a thing in Judaism as well. We believe in such a thing. Not just the tale of two cities. Even though he's not the one who sinned, the other person sinned. So why should I have the ability to pay with suffering instead of him? I don't understand it, but that's how they understood it.
Yeah, I like your last chabini.
Okay, but the Targum Onkelos says on that pasuk, I like your last chabini, alai itamar benevuah. I was told benevuah that it's not going to happen. That's how the Targum Onkelos writes. It doesn't mean that she's accepting the curse. But that's what Rashi translated, that's what it means. Areni kaparis mishkovoi. I accept upon myself any onshim that the Bezon Shalmaila wants to give to the parent. I accept it as in the line of Kibbut Aviyim. So there is such a concept. Later in the parsha, when Yosef puts Shimon in prison, and then the brothers go back to Eretz Canaan, and then the father doesn't want to send Binyamin, so he says, the whole world is coming to an end. Yosef and then of Shimon and then of Binyamin Tikachu, I like how you kolana. He used to have 12 sons and one daughter, and now he's going to be missing 3 sons. So there's a beautiful medrash on that pasuk that Yaakov Avinu is crying, he thinks the world is coming to an end. And the Rebbe Shalom is laughing in heaven. What do you mean, Yosef? Amen. Yosef is the prime minister, is running the whole world. He's feeding the whole world. And Shimon, it says, Vayeser Osir Le'enayim. So Rashi quotes the Medrash, he only kept them in prison Le'enayim. As soon as they left, so he released Shimon. He can go prince around, travel around wherever you want in Egypt. And in Binyamin, nothing happened to Binyamin. So human beings, a lot of times, we think that the world is coming to an end, such a great tragedy. And that's the beginning of the Yeshua. The Moshiach is on his way, and we're crying about how terrible the situation is. There was a certain big Talmud Chacham who used to be a Magid Shir in a yeshiva, a little yeshiva somewhere in Eretz Yisrael. And then, because of politics, they eased him out of the yeshiva. And then he thought the world is coming to an end. And then he became a world famous Rabbi Shavais. World famous. Now he travels around the whole world. Everybody heard. If he would have stayed in a Tanya and Yeshiva, no one would have heard of him. He became famous when he thought the world was coming to an end. Like over here in the parasha. There is supposed to be a medrash. I don't know if it's a medrash from the days of the Amoraim or a medrash from the Rishonim. Ma'az Zocha Yehuda L'Malchus. How come Yehuda turned out to be the Melech? Because he accepted responsibility. He said, Anochi Erevenu. The Melech has to, we all have to have responsibility for each other. Just last Shabbos I spent in Baltimore in Eretz Yisrael because my son made a bar mitzvah there. So in Eretz Yisrael, everybody knows Rabbi Neuberger is a Zichron Levracha, who built up the whole yeshiva and the whole campus and everything. So he was known for this. All the boys have to feel responsibility for everybody else. And the last year or two of his life that he wasn't 100% all there, so he had people eat by him on Shabbos. Had boys eat by him on Shabbos. Every meal he would say the same thing, that they have to be mekabel responsibility for the rest of Klal Yisrael. That's what that's the job of the Melech, but everybody, that's Klal Yisrael Arei Mizeh B'Zeh. We all have to feel responsibility for each other. There's another Medrash Kli. I think they say they look for the Medrash, they think it doesn't exist. At the end of the Sedra, it says, Vayichapes bogodol hechel, Vayichapes bogodol hechel avakotin kilo, Vayimotzi agvir biyamtachas binyamin. So they say in the name of Rabbi Shua Leib Diskin, that they said, a kal v'chomer, what do you, you're choshed us, you suspect that we stole your gavia? Henkesef Hashem atzana b'fiyamtachas sein ha-shiva in ha-lechem, y'eretz kinah, v'ech nignu v'beisav v'nanecho, kesef v'eisav, we're going to steal money, it's a kal v'chomer. So the shluchim of Yosef said, okay, we'll accept the kal v'chomer. But kal v'chomer doesn't apply to Binyamin, because he didn't bring back any money. Kal v'chomer doesn't apply to Shimon, because Shimon was in Egypt. So they only checked two. They didn't check all of them. Not Bagodol Heichal, Bakotin Kilo. They checked everybody's, and then they found it Be'am Tachas Binyamin. They only checked two, the sacks of the Godel, only Shimon and Binyamin, because those are the only two brothers where the kal v'chomer didn't apply. So they said there is no such medrash, but that was the suggestion of Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin. Rabbi Skarov used to say it over there. Having the chidushei Rabbevela mipi Hashmo Achumesh, so they quote that b'shem Rabbi Shaul Leib Diskin. This morning we said Hallel. The Halachas Gedolos also lived in the days of the Gaonim. We're not sure exactly who wrote the Halachas Gedolos, but it's from the period of the Gaonim. And Tosis usually assumes that it's written by Rabbi Yehudoi Goin, and the Ramban always writes it's written by Rabbi Shimon Kayora. Someone else, but whoever it was, he lived in the days of the Goinim. That's what Tosis says. Even the Bahag writes something that's very strange. It doesn't make any sense. But we try to follow it because Kol Dvar Diri Kabbalah. He had traditions from the days of the Amoraim. There are a lot of strange things in the Bahag that Anisha can't lay in the Megillah to Mimotzi. Man, why not? Tosis thinks it doesn't make sense. But that's what it says in the Bahag, so we follow the Bahag Lachatchila. Unless he really gets stuck. If the only one to lay in the Megillah is a woman, then we would be like, we don't hold like the Bahag. The same thing, if you miss the day on Sfiras HaEmer, so you can't continue to count. Tosis says there is no such thing. The Bahag invented it, we don't know where he got it from. So out of respect for the Bahag, we don't violate what he said. So the Bahag wrote, the Sefer Halachos Gedolos is the Sefer HaMitzvahs. He tries to list off which are the Taryag Mitzvahs. So he lists off reciting Hallel as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs. So the Rambam wrote his Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam clearly lived after the Bahag, and he patterns much of his Sefer HaMitzvahs after the Bahag. But this, he attacks the Bahag. He attacks him in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. Utterly ridiculous. Why did he count Hallel? Hallel, everybody knows. Hallel is only the Rabbanan. How can you include mitzvahs the Rabbanan? The Loshon HaGemara, the end of Makkos, is Taryag Mitzvahs, Nemar Lo Moshe Misinai. The mitzvahs the Rabbanan were not given to Moshe Rabbeinu HaSin. So that's the Rambam's attack. And then he repeats the attack in the Sefer HaMitzvahs as well. The Gemara in the Sugya of Chanukah says, you say a bracha when you light Neres Chanukah, Asher Kedushanu B'mitzvahs V'tzvon L'Halek Ner Shel Chanukah. The Gemara asks, V'heichan Tzivonu? What do you mean? It's only Midirabbanan, it's not Minatar. So the Gemara has the machlokes: is it based on the pasuk loisaser, or is it based on the pasuk shalabicha v'yageidcha? So the Rambam quotes that he's in Hilchas Chanukah. There isn't so much to say in Hilchas Chanukah. So the Rambam padded it, so he has all the dinim of halal from all year long. He has all the dinim of halal in Hilchas Chanukah. So the Rambam writes his Sebrach on Erev Chanukah, even though it's only the Rabbanon. And then he says in his Sebrach on Halal, even though we all know it's only with the Rabbanon, again he has to give his dig against the Bahag, and has the long Arichas on the Brach on the Halal. The Gemara has the Arichas on the Bracha on Hadlokas Neres Chanukah. So the Rambam writes that Bekitzi, you say the Bracha Kiddushanim Sosu Tzivanu on Neres Chanukah, and you say Kiddushanim Sosu Tzivanu on Halal, even though Halal is only with the Rabbanon, because, and he quotes the Pasuk Loisosu, he has the whole Arichas on the Halal. So the Rambam is upset why the Bahag counted Halal. Rav Elbala Soloveitchik in his Sefer on Rosh Hashanah Yom HaSukkah, thin little Sefer, so he points out it could well be it's a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Brachas, the Mishnah and Brachas Daf Chof, that women are mechuyev to daven. Poshe b'shat shachris b'nchei ma'ariv. Poshe b'shat in the Mishnah. Mishnah Berurah is mekel that the ma'ariv is only rishus and it's only a minik. Maybe the women never accepted it as a minik. It's a questionable Mishnah Berurah. So Leitchik didn't think so. He thought that the mechuyev to daven Shmon Esrei, three times a day, shachris b'nchei ma'ariv. He thought it was shvacher kula that the women don't daven ma'ariv. So the Gemara says, Pshita, of course women are mechuyev. So the Gemara says, Ma'ud etayma, one might have thought that davening shachris b'nchei ma'ariv is a mitzvah seser shazman grama, because shachris has a sozman tefillah shachris, and minchei has a zman, and ma'ariv has a zman. So I would have thought that all three are mitzvah seser shazman grama, kamash malon, that despite the fact that it's a zman grama, women are still mechuyev. So Rashi doesn't like that girsa. Tosin says, Rashi didn't like the girsa. That rule, the mitzvah says is mangram and nashma pot, only applies to mitzvahs deraisa, it doesn't apply to mitzvahs derabban. So Rashi changed the girsa. The old girsa was like that. Rashi thought that it's incorrect. The girsa should be something else. The Gemara does explain, tefillah rachmeinenu, in any given mitzvah derabban, and there is no rule. So in each mitzvah, you have to navigate, you have to negotiate to decide whether women should be mechuyev or not. There is no rule. That's what Rashi says. Tosfos thinks it's not true, and they interpret the Gemara has in three different places. Lashem chayavos, women are mechuyev in arbekosis and haseba, women are mechuyev in hadlokas neres chanukah, and in mikra megillah, despite the fact that it's that Tosfos interprets, despite the fact that it's a zman groma, because afen habios on this. Despite the fact that this is Mangram, but all four are only the Rabbanon, Hesebar, Bekoises, Mikra, Megillah, Hadlokas, Neres, Chanukah, everything is only with the Rabbanon. So you see that the rule normally should apply. Called the Tikkun Rabbanon came there as a Tikkun. The rule should apply to Mitzvahs, the Rabbanon also. And then Tosfos slams Rashi again. There's a Gemara that says, Shomer Kohena, let's say, the father was away on a business trip. He didn't come home for Shabbos, so the mother feels uncomfortable saying her own Kiddush and Abdullah. The Almana says her own Kiddush and Abdullah. She's married, her husband is alive. She doesn't want to say. The European women felt very uncomfortable saying their own Kiddush and Abdullah. The American women, a lot of them, they alternate. Every other week, the husband says Kiddush. Every other week, the wife says Hamoitzi and Kiddush, whatever. They take turns. Every day, equal. All men and women are created equal. Right. So every other week the wife says Kiddush and Abdullah. Yeah. So, but European women felt uncomfortable. So sometimes the last the child, the boy, was before Bar Mitzvah, he should say Kiddush. That's not correct. The kid before Bar Mitzvah is only Mechuyev Mitam Chinuch, and the mother is Mechuyev Min HaTorah and Kiddush. So she can't be Yetzer with the son's Kiddush. She has to say her own Kiddush. So the Gemara says, what if the husband doesn't know how to say Halal? And the wife is going to say Halal, and the husband will be Yetzer with Shemei Koina. So the Gemara says in Sukkah that's not acceptable because the women are not mechuyev in halal, and the men are mechuyev in halal. So if the husband does not know how to say halal, and the wife is saying for him, he has to say word for word every word that she said. He can't read Hebrew, so she's going to read it. He'll say after her word for word. She can't be motzi him because she's not mechuyev bedover. She ain't mechuyev bedover. Ain't motzi as a rabbi midei chayvosim. So Tosfos assumes that double poshet. Everybody knows halal is only midei rabbanon. And still, the Gemara assumes that the rule of mitzvah shazman grama and dashim turis applies. So there you have it. You see that Rashi is wrong. So the Biskarab says maybe Rashi holds like the Ramban. The Ramban defends the Bahag by suggesting the Rabban and the Sefer HaMitzvah suggest that maybe Halal is Deraisa. Who says that Halal is the Rabbanan? Tesis clearly thinks like the Rambam. The Rambam assumes such a Dava Pasha, the Halal is only with the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan is all of Echi, wrote in the Sefer. Maybe Rashi is of the opinion that Halal is the Raisa.
But the Rabbanan only says it to Shai Hanes. Rashi is saying it every day of the year, every time we say Halal.
The Ramban is talking about halal on Yontif. There are three kinds of halal. So there's halal b'shas hanes, that's based on Oz Yashir. The Bnei Yisrael recited Oz Yashir at the occasion of Kriyas Yamsuf. So that's recorded in the Chumash to imply that that's a real din d'araisa, halal b'shas hanes. Halal zechel hanes, the pashtus is every following year. The Gemara says in Brochus that halal on Chanukah is only the Rabbanan. So the Pashtus is, that's what the Netziv writes in his commentary on the Shilta, that Halal B'Shasanes is the Raisa, Halal Zechelanes, that's only mid the Rabbanan, if they made a Takona. They didn't make a Takona, not. And Halal on Yontif, that's a Machlokes HaRishani, but the Halal on Yontif is the Raisa, the Rabbanan. So the Gemara where Rashi and Tosfos have the Machlokes that a woman cannot recite Halal to be Moitzi, her husband, that's talking about Halal on Yontif. So Rashi perhaps thinks that is the Raisa. The Ramban explains that it's a part of the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. The Simchas Aguf and Simcha L'Bebosavian and Simchas HaNefesh. That the soul should call out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from excitement and joy and Simcha and recite Halal. So it's possible that Rashi thinks that Halal is the Raisa. The Chasam Sofer writes in one of his tshuvas that Halal on Chanukah is the Raisa. Because the Gemara Megillah makes a Kal V'Chomer. That Mami Avdus Lacherus, Rabbi Neisol went free from Mitzrayim. They weren't killing. There was a period of time. Kalabein Hanoelad Hayoelah Hayorat Tashlichu. There was a period of time that they heard Mashiach Shal Yisrael is going to be born and is going to be Loke B'Mayim. So they were throwing the firstborn into the water. But most of the years that they were there, the 210 years Bnei Yisrael were in Mitzrayim. They weren't killing them. They were just enslaving them. So Mami Avdus Lacheris, he say Halal, so Mimavis Lachaim Lakoshkin. The Kalvachema was regarding, the Gemara's Kasha was regarding Nes Purim. They wanted to kill the Hashman Laharlag, but it's called Ayudim, Minar Vadzokin. And so the Gemara has to give answers, how come we don't say Halal on Purim? And it's assumed, the Chassam Sefer assumes that the Kalvachema applies even to Chanukah, because they were killing a lot of people then. So some Sefer writes, Ahal HaChanukah is their Isa. So the Netziv says, but all he says, he wants to disagree with the Chassam Sefer. So he gives him a big covet. He says, Hagoyen v'hatzadik, he usually doesn't call him Hagoyen v'hatzadik, because he wants to disagree, so he has to disagree respectfully. So he says, Hagoyen v'hatzadik, Chassam Sefer writes, Ahal HaChanukah is their Isa. He said, with all the respect, it's against the Gemara. In Brochus, the Gemara says in Brochus that in the middle of Kriya Shema, you're permitted to be mafsik b'mpnei hakovel b'mpnei hayira. It's a bigger heter hafsoket b'ein haprokim, but sometimes it's even a heter to be mafsik b'emtza perek, in the middle of the perek, and the Yerushalmi learns it out from the pasuk v'dibarta bam. V'dibarta bam means you're allowed to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema. V'dibarta bam. Pshuto shel mikra means you should recite Kriya Shema. V'dibarta bam, shach b'chov kamecha, you recite Kriya Shema. So the Talmud Yerushalmi, and there's a Gemara also in Yuma, seems to learn like that, but the Barta Abam, an additional level of interpretation, you're permitted to talk in the middle of Kriya Shema, Mibnei HaKovim, Mibnei HaYira, Namasar Kasvel HaChachamim. So the Mishnah has Machleg, Zameh Reb Yuda, to what extent is it muta to be mapsik in the middle of Kriya Shema? So the Gemara has a Shaila, would those heterim carry over to Halal and Chanukah or not? Should I say on the one hand it's a Kavachimer, Kriya Shema is deraisa, and still you're allowed to be mafsik, so Halal on Chanukah is only the Rabbani is certainly allowed to be mafsik, or should I say perhaps in the other direction, even though Halal is only the Rabbanon, but Halal is for the purpose of Pisum and Isa, then maybe if you're going to talk in the middle of Halal, maybe it'll kill the whole Pisum and Isa. It looks as if you're just reciting Tilim. You'll take away from the Pisum and Isa element of the reciting of Halal. So the Netziv says it's a befevishing Gemara and Brachas that Halal Chanukah is only the Rabbanon. It's against the Chassam Sefer. So the Talmidim of the Chassam Sefer also worry about that. How can he say it's against it off in the Gemara? So they answer that if you're talking about being mafsik in the middle of Halal, here Halal is three pages in the Art Scroll Siddur. Halal is three pages, page 280, 281, 282. So the whole Halal is Daraisa. Even if you say Halal is Daraisa, the first Perek, he yotze with the first three Tzukim, he said, already Halal. The fact that you say three pages worth of Halal, a few Prokem of Tehillim, that's not Daraisa, that's the Rabbanon. So the whole topic of being Mapsik in the middle of Halal, the whole topic is only the Rabbanon. Yeah.
The Gemara Brachos explicitly mentions Hanukkah?
Yes. Yes. The Shir Shikhas Yud Beis Chayim, you just learned it last year, it's less than a year. How can you forget, no? Didn't you learn it last year?
Yeah, we learned it last year.
Okay. Gemara explicitly mentions Halal and Hanukkah. Yes. You take a look at the Gemara. Yeah. So that's what the Chassam Sofer's Talmidim defend him. He said the Chassam Sofer didn't forget the Gemara, but they're reciting so many Prokem of Halal, that's only with the Rabbanim. You have to say something is their right. In the days of the Balei HaTosfos, there were two practices. When you recited Halal Shalom, they would say, Shekudah Shalom, Sosetzvan, Ligmores HaHalal. And on a day, on Rosh Chodesh, and Chalamot Pesach, when you only say Chatzi Halal, they would say, Likroes HaHalal. They wouldn't say Ligmores. We don't have that practice. We always say the Bracha Likroes HaHalal. We don't make a distinction. So Leitchik had a Chumra. It's a question, maybe it's a Kula. Is it really a Chumra or not? He had a lot of Chumras. Had many more chumras than he had kulas. A lot of people misrepresent Rabbi Soloveitchik. The people who give series of lectures of the kulas of Rabbi Soloveitchik and Hilchos Shabbos, he had more chumras than he had kulas. A lot of people would be getting divorced if you'd follow all of Rabbi Soloveitchik's chumras and Hilchos Nida. We don't. Nobody follows all those chumras. So he had the following practice. It says in Shulchan Aruch that Leil Yom Kippur, the Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem on the base has a question: do you have to recite Shachyonu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? And what comes to the conclusion? Yes, that it's a chayva. So when usually you say Shachyonu at the end of the Kiddush, Leil Yom Kippur, you don't say Kiddush because you don't eat anything, you don't drink anything. So we recite Shachyonu right after Kol Nidre. We say Shachyonu. So it says in the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch, if the Chazim will say Shachyanu and everybody will say Amen, and then they're all going to say Shachyanu, so it's questionable. Maybe they were Yotze with the Amen that they said to the Bracha of the Chazim, then when they say they want Shachyanu to be a Bracha of Atola, there is such an opinion that if someone says Kiddush and I want to be Yotze with Shemek Koina, you have to have Kavana Lehoitzi and Kavana Lotzitz. But what if he says Kiddush and I say Amen? So then the Rambam quotes the Gemara's Lashon Kol Ha'ena Amen Ki Lehoitzi Bracha Mipiv Domi. So some of the Meforshim of the Rambam learn what do you mean Kol Ha'ena Ki Lehoitzi Bracha Mipiv Domi? You don't even need Kavana Lotzes. Even if you didn't have Kavana Lotzes, it was a Yotze. The Rambam himself wrote in the Tshuva that he didn't mean that. So that was a misunderstanding in the Rambam. The Rambam in the end of, I think it's the end of Perek Aleph in the Chas Brachas, the Rambam says, if you listen to somebody's bracha and you had a mind to be yotze, then you say Shemei Koina. And if you answered Amen, Kol Ha'ena Amen Ki Lehoitzi Bracha Mipiv Domi. So it's the same thing. So I think because Mishnah learns, and others also learn, the Rambam meant to say, if you answered Amen, you don't even need Kavana Lotzes. But the Rambam himself says he didn't mean that. But the Rav Rishonim do say like that. In the Shita Mukubetzes on Brachas, on the last Perek, in Perek Haroya, and the first page of Bevera, there is such an opinion in the Shita that if you say Amen, you Yotzi, even though you didn't have Kavana Lotzes. So that's a problem. If you're going to say Amen to the Chazan's Bracha on Leil Yom Kippur Shachyanu, then you can't say your own Shachyanu, unless you had Beferish or Kavana Shalol Lotzes. Okay? So that's over here a problem. So Rav Soloveitchik said, the common practice is the Chazan says, Shachyanu, son, Likros Ahalo, everybody says Amen, and then they say the Bracha, Likros Ahalo. So unless you had Beferish Kavana Shalol Lotzes, it could be that you Yotze with the Anias Amen on the Chazan's Bracha. So his practice was that you do the same as you do on Leil Yom Kippur. The Achrayim suggest you should say along the Bracha with the Chazan and finish a little before the Chazan, Shachyanu Kaman Lazman Azeh, finish 2 seconds before the Chazan. So when the Chazan finishes the Bracha, you'll be able to say Amen. If you finish the Bracha together with the Chazan, then it's an Amen Acha Brichas Atzma, you're not allowed to. So you say the Bracha a little faster than the Chazan, you'll be able to say Amen. So that's what he did. His practice was by Brichas HaHalel, he would say the Bracha along with the Chazan. He would finish a little before the Chazan. When the Chazan would finish the Kros HaHalel, he would answer Amen. That was his Chumrah. So some of the Talmidim thought that it's not beseder. It's very questionable. It's a kula. When you say Shechianu on Leil Yom Kippur, it's not a bracha that relates to anything. Shechianu stands alone. But here the bracha is Birchas HaMitzvah Oivah L'Asiyasam. Immediately before, Oivah means the Gemara didn't say Koidim. Kalamis Kulam Aruch Aleim Oivah L'Asiyasam. Why did the Gemara say Koidim? The Gemara said because Oivah has the connotation of immediately before, as opposed to Oivah the Oivah. That's what all the Rishonim say. The Gemara says when they say the bracha on the tefillin, when it's on your arm and you're about to tighten the ritzua, why do it have to be on your arm? Because if you say the bracha when you're taking the tefillin out of the tefillin zekel, it's too far in advance. It's over the over. Now, so they actually thought that it wasn't right by the yekis. They say the bracha the sata betzitzit. They hold the talis in front of them and say the sata betzitzit, and then they switch it to the back. So he thought that that's not right. He thought you have to hold the talis behind you. So other people put on the talis and they do atif and then they say the bracha. So that's lachar asiyasim. He thought you have to hold the talis behind you and say the bracha immediately before you're about to put the talis on your head, on your body. So here it's a question. If I'm going to say likros ahalel, then I'm going to answer amen to the bracha of the shliach tzibur. So am I not being mafsik in between my birchas hamitzvah and my reciting of the halal? Isn't that a hefsik? That should pose a problem. So the Gemara has a din, you're not allowed to talk in between Shal Yad and Shal Rosh. So let's say I put on the Shal Yad, I say the bracha l'haniach tefillin. And then I hear someone, I'm about to put on Shal Rosh, I hear someone else says the bracha l'haniach tefillin. And I answer amen. Is that a hepsik or not? I'm answering amen to the, I'm not allowed to be mafsik between l'haniach tefillin that I said and my putting on a my Shal Rosh. If the Gemara says if you're mafsik between tefillin Shal Yad and tefillin Shal Rosh, you gar bracha shein etzricha. Got to say an extra bracha. So the question is, what if the bracha that I'm mentioning is not shahakal abar nefosh, it's ashayotza? It's a lohaniach tefillin. So if I'll say amen, that's amen on lohaniach tefillin. So that's in yana diyama. That's what I want, not to be mafsik between lohaniach tefillin and shal rosh. So maybe that's okay. So that's a machloikis and achreinim. The Shari Tshuva has that machloikis. So a group of achreinim, the Minkacha has a tshuva about that, the Minchas Aluza. So he thinks that it's not a hefsik. Since you're answering amen to that bracha, that you're not supposed to be mafsik between l'haniach tefillin and shal rosh, so that's when you're answering amen to someone else's l'haniach, so that's not a problem. But many others disagree. So apparently Rav Salvechik thought that it wasn't a problem, but it's questionable, because many hold that it is a problem. There's a Talmid Chacham who learned by the stipula when he was a teenager, and then he maintained contact with the stipula for another 50 years, and he wrote down every time he saw Hanhag from the stipler, he wrote down everything that he saw. So they published the 5 volumes of Orchas Rabbein, all the Hanhagas of the stipler. So he writes that the stipler was hard of hearing, and so he had so whatever brachas he could say on his own, he said on his own, and he didn't know how to read the Megillah, so he had to stand next to the Balkari. So he said the 3 brachas of the Megillah on his own. And then he listened to the Balkari say the 3 brachas on the Megillah. He said, Amen, Amen, and Amen. And then he listened to the Balkari lay in the Mikra Megillah. So he said 3 Amens in between his 3 brachas and the Balkari's reading of the Megillah. He said Amen to the 3 brachas at the Balkari. That's like Rav Soloveitchik did also. It's questionable. That's the big machlaikas. Maybe that's considered a hefsik. Maybe you're not supposed to do that. The Mishnah says a Megillah.
2 things first. Couldn't one answer like Baruch Hu Baruch Shemal after for the Chasam, like saying Baruch Hashem, and then that would make sure that it wouldn't be Yosei?
The note of Yehuda has comments on the side of the printout on the side of the page in Shulchan Aruch that's called Dogel Mervava. So the note of Yehuda has that Chiddush, that whenever you want to be Yotze with Kiddush Avdola, Bracha from someone else, so you should not say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemal. But the Ksav Sefer writes that he doesn't remember that his father, the Chasam Sefer, would make such an announcement in shul. Like in the yeshivas, they always make an announcement. Everyone should answer amen after the Bal Tekeya says the bracha, and after the Bal Kari he says the bracha and the Megillah. Make sure you don't say Baruch Hu V'Shma, make sure you don't talk that. So he says he doesn't, his father never made that announcement not to say Baruch Hu V'Shma. He had the impression that he thought that it's not a hefsik. They quote the story that when the Baba Saleh married off one of his children, so he wanted the Sephardic chief rabbi to be Masadik Kedushin. I already forgot which one it was. Mart Chaliyo to be Masadik Kedushin for his children. So then, under the chuppah, so he said, when I say the bracha, make sure you don't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai. So the Baba Sali said, no, we follow the Paschal Mahod, that is not a hefsik. You shouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai. He wanted him to be Masadik Kedushin, but not with Ashkenazi hang-ups. They should follow the Sephardi meaning that they do say Baruch Hashem. That's a question. Whether it's a hefsek? Yeah.
I think why don't we just all be yotzei with the chazan?
That's a very good question. And Shulchan Aruch says if you have 10 people putting on the talis at the same time, so we say Beroiv Am Harus Melech. It's preferable that one person should say the bracha, and they should all be yotzei rather than have all the 10 people say their own bracha. So we don't do it by talis because everybody comes late to shul. You don't have 10 people putting on talis at the same time. Everybody's in a rush because they have to catch up. Everybody's late. But in Halal, everybody's waiting, so everybody's listening to the chasam. Why don't you? That's a very good question. I don't know. So we avoid being yotzei with other people's brachas because we find it hard to pay attention. We always like to talk on our own. We don't like to listen to someone else. There's supposed to be a medrash, I don't know if it exists, supposed to be a medrash that God created us with two ears and one mouth, and we should listen twice as much as we talk. But we usually talk much more than we listen. We usually don't pay attention to other people. We usually shoot our mouths off.
I've heard that medrash quoted by non-Jewish people.
Oh. So maybe it's a medrash. Maybe it's a medrash by the non-Jews. Okay, could be. Not all the medrashim are from Amaroyim. Yeah.
Is this same hafsek by Krishna, and Rikas Krishna? The bracha right before?
The bracha is before. The Gemara says, "Bein perik leperik, you do say amen." The Pashto says, "You do say amen."
People like to finish the bracha together, so you don't say amen.
The Meiri wrote a whole book that's called Magen Avos to defend the Minhag HaVosav. After he writes, he explains what happened. The Ramban passed away. The Ramban lived in Spain, and after the Ramban passed away, so they were going to learn by the Rashba, who was the Talmud of the Ramban. Some of them felt we were classmates. I should learn by him. How can I learn by the Rashba? So they felt that the grass is greener on the other side. So they go into Provence in southern France. So they came to Provence. They had totally different minhagim. The Sephardim, they spoke Spanish and they spoke French. And Ganson, they had a different world with different minhagim. So there were clashes about different minhagim. So the Meiri writes a whole sefer Magen Avos. For many generations, the people didn't know. They thought it was the Miri's commentary on Pirkei Avos. There's a separate sefer in the Miri on Pirkei Avos. But the Magen Avos is to defend Minhag HaVosav, to defend all the Minhagim of Provence from the attack of the Talmidei HaRamban, who came from Spain. So one of the issues of dispute was about saying Amen after Baruch Abba Misor B'Ahava. Why? Because in a certain sense, Abba Rabba, Abba Salam is the Bichas HaMitzvah. The Gemara says it can substitute for Bichas HaTorah. If you didn't say Bichas HaTorah before davening, you said Abba Rabba, so then it can substitute for Bichas HaTorah. So some Rishonim hold that Abba Rabba, Abba Salam is the Bichas HaMitzvah for Kriyat Shema. So they say it's not right to answer Amen to the Chazan's Baruch, because it has to be Oyvel Asiyasim. It shouldn't be Mapsik at all in between the Bichas HaMitzvah. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah says, that the best thing is to finish with the chazan. You don't have to say amen. In the Lithuanian yeshivas in Europe, they didn't have that practice. They write, different people wrote, one fellow went to learn in Telz, and one fellow went to learn in Mir. So they both write, the first time they came there from Irev, they came in the middle of the day, came from Irev, they thought the walls were going to fall down. 400 people screamed out, oh, Amen! After Abach Bamisol Biyabo, Shemam, after the Brocha, they were so petrified, they never heard of such a thing before. So in the yeshivas, they didn't have that practice. They didn't follow the Mishnah Berurah. They followed on other things, they followed Mishnah Berurah. But on that, they didn't follow. They all said, oh, Amen! After.
It's the same Brocha.
Like same Brocha, right. Even if you should assume that it is the Bichas HaMitzvah, but you're saying Amen to the same bracha, so it should be the same as the Tefillin Shal Yad and the Tefillin Shal Rosh. That is correct, yeah. So the Mishnah says in Megillah,
what was the Orchid Rabbeinu? What was the Raya from the Cypher? I didn't understand Rabbi Yisrael from the stipler.
Not a right. No, his practice was, he was hard of hearing, so he would say the three brachas on Mikra and Megillah on his own, and then he would stand very close to the Balkori, say Amen, Amen, Amen on the three brachas of the Balkori, and then be yotze with the Mikra and Megillah. So that's a question. He said the three brachas on his own, and then he says Amen to someone else saying the same three brachas in between his Brichas HaMitzvah and his Mikra and Megillah.
Oh, he said the brachas himself.
Yeah. He said the brachas on his own because he couldn't hear well. So whatever he could do on his own, he said on his own. So he said the three brachas on Mikra and Megillah on his own. And then he'd say Amen to the three brachas of the Balkari. He heard them a little bit, and then he would pay attention to the Mikra and Megillah. So that's the same practice as Rabbi Soloveitchik. That's questionable whether that's right. Maybe it should be considered a hefsek. The Mishnah says in Megillah that the reciting of the bracha in connection with the halal depends on the meaning of mokum. Mokum shenagul levarich yivarchum, mokum shenagul shelo levarich lo yivarchum. So the Gemara says that only goes on the bracha yihavalucha, the bracha after the halal, but the bracha asher kedushanu b'mitzvosu v'tzivanu likros ha-halal, the bracha before, that's a chayva. Because kala mitzvus kulam levarich alayim mo'ivel asiyasam. So that's where the Gemara makes a distinction. The bracha yihavalucha depends on the minimum kamokim. Pashtus says it was introduced by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah as a Bichas HaRishus. Most of the brachas were introduced as a Chayva. Some of the brachas were introduced as a Rishus. Like, for example, the Gemara says in Erevin on Daf Mem, reciting Shachyonu, when you get a Pre-Chadosh, is a Rishus. If you want to, you may. If you don't want to, you don't have to. Reciting Shachyonu on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos and Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that's a Chayva. That's not a Rishus. The Gemara draws a distinction. So Yehalucha also apparently the same thing. Sukkah de Zimra, Baruch Shama, Yishtabach seems also was introduced by the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah as a Rishus. If you don't want to, you don't have to. So in the days of the Amoraim, there are a lot of people who didn't say Sukkah de Zimra at all. They didn't say it at all. The Rishonim raise a question, how come Yehalucha is not Pasachas Beboruch? The Gemara has a Braisa in Arbi Psochem, and in the middle of Brochas, Kol HaBrochas Kulam have to begin Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. Have to have Shem Emal. How come it begins Yaluch Hashem Elokeinu Kol Maasecha? And the same thing, the bracha at the end of Pesuk HaZimra begins Yishtabach Shimcha Lo Ad Malkeinu. We don't start Baruch Ata Hashem. So a lot of Rishonim answer, it's a bracha smucha lechavato. Yaluch smucha lechavato to the likros ha-halo. Even though you have all the prokim in between, that's not a hepsik. And the same thing by Psuka de Zimra. Yishtabach is smucha lechavato to Baruch Sheomar, so it doesn't have to be pasachas bebaruch, even though you have all the psukim but Psuka de Zimra in between. So the Rishonim raised a question. The Ritva has this, the part that I'm going to say, but the Ritva and Megillah raised the question, but when you get an aliyah, they say, bracha shebacha bana bifah shenasan lanu at the end. So the bracha shenasan lanu is pasachas bebaruch. We don't consider it smucha lechavato to the bracha bifah shebacha bana because you have kriyas haTorah in between. So how come over there the kriyas haTorah is considered a hefsik, and shenasan lanu is not considered smucha lechavato? And over here, by psukah de Zimra and by Hallel, we do not consider the psukim in between as a hefsik. So the Ritva writes with malitzas. The Ritva writes a very, you can tell if it's a Ritva. There was, for many years, there was a Ritva Masech HaShabbos that was misidentified. It's a dead giveaway, it's not the Ritva. He writes a boring style Hebrew. So they finally came to the realization, that's the Ran. That was the Ran. And they found that this Masech HaShabbos. And then there's a separate, then there's a sefer called Chidush HaRan Masech HaShabbos that they knew all along, that that's not by the Ran, because he quotes Rishonim that the Ran never quotes. And then there's a separate sefer, Ksav Yad, that they printed years ago, the Ritva Masech HaShabbos. So the Ritva always writes Melitzas, very cheerful. I remember my father had an old European edition of one of the Ritvos that they have on the title page. They write, they're printing this from manuscript, and the Ritva is the cheerful Rishon, Kol Mokim Shedvar Magim, Sosav Simcha V'Yontav Layhudim. His name was Rabbeinu Yontav. His name was Yontav. So they write, he writes so cheerfully, such a cheerful style. Because he has such a malitza. So he writes over here, What does it mean? So he means a bracha is a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the bracha before and the bracha after shevach, and psukah the zimra and halal is shevach, it's zimra. So mim emina ein achoytzeis. But kriyas haTorah, the bracha before and after is shevach, and the kriyas haTorah is learning. So that's mim mishen emina. So mim mishen emina is choytzeis. As Rav Soloveitchik explained that to Ritva. Sounds like it's pashim shat. Probably is correct. In the second chapter in Hallel, the first chapter is Tehillim Kuf Yud Gimel, then Kuf Yud Dalet. So we say, Milefnei Adon Chulayatz, Milefnei Elokah Yaakov. So whenever Koach, whenever you have a ches with a patach at the end of the word, you don't pronounce it kocha. You pronounce it koach. So the same thing, if you have a hey with a patach, you don't pronounce it eloha. That's incorrect pronunciation. You pronounce it eloah, like koach. So a lot of people mispronounce. You're not yotze. The din is whenever you have to say halal shalom, if you missed one word, you're not yotze. So the correct pronunciation is eloah.
You're not Yotze even if you just mispronounce a word.
And Shmuel,
Michael,
depends how poorly, how badly mispronounced it was. Okay, it's such an accepted mispronunciation. Half the Jews mispronounce the word. So maybe it's Bidi Yevid. It would be Yotze. I don't know. Questionable, but you should pronounce it correctly. In Hazino, I think there's also no Eloka. I think it's twice you have hey with a patach at the end. In Lakewood Yeshiva, it's called Beis Medrash Gavo Ha, but they spell it Gavo Ha, H A. So there used to be a Professor Levy over here in the neighborhood. He was a brother in law of Eli Klein from Kerem Yavne. He was a colorful character, he was a personality. So every year he would get a letter from Lakewood that he should come to the annual Malka and he should give a donation. He would always circle Beis Medrash Gavo Ha and he would say, when you'll correct the mistake on your stationery, I'll be happy to give you some. They never corrected it. It's still called Beis Medrash Gavo Ha. There is no such word in Hebrew, Gavo Ha. The correct pronunciation is Gavo Ha. We say, I appreciate the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to my prayers. Kihita ozna li over yomai ekro. So we usually translate Kihita ozna li, he leans over his ear to listen to my prayers, and he answers my prayers over yomai ekro. I daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he answers my prayers. That's the Pasha Pshat. So in the big Siddur, the Oitzah Tfilis, they quote a Pshat, Kihita ozna li refers to a kaf moznayim. The Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts all the mitzvahs on one scale, all the averus on the other scale. He sees which outweighs which, and Aseris made Shulim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges the whole world. And in a case it turns out that it's approximately equal, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts his finger on the scale of mitzvahs to be Mata Klapi Chesed, to tilt the scale in such a way that the mitzvahs will outweigh the averus. So the stale is called the Kaf Maznaim. So in the big Siddur, the Oitzah Tfilas, they interpret that Kihitos Nali means he's Mata the Kaf Maznaim in my favor. It doesn't mean he tilts a zero over to listen. He's Mata the Kaf Maznaim. It's an interesting pshat. We say twice, the Gemara points out, we say Tzor V'yongan Emtzo V'shem Hashem Ekro, then we say Kos Yeshua Seso V'shem Hashem Ekro. That's both in the same parak. One is the first half of the parak, one is the second half of the parak. So the Gemara says, "Kishem." The Mishnah says in Brochas, "Kishem shem mevorchem al atoy v'kach mevorchem al hara'a." And the Gemara says, "What do you mean, kishem shem mevorchem?" But it's a different bracha. Al atoy you say shachyanu atoy v'ameitav. Al hara'a you say baruch dayno emes. How is it kishem shem mevorchem? Just like you say brochem when you come out of the bathroom, so do you say brochem over a cup of coffee. This is ashayotz and not shahakol. What does one have to do with the other? How is it kishem? So the Gemara says, "Kishem shem mevorchem al atoy v'you say the bracha b'simcha." You have to say the bracha b'simcha. The text of the bracha has to correspond to your perception. The perception is that it's a tragedy that occurred. A person died at a young age. That's a tragedy. But we're supposed to have amuna that whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is l'tovah. So he's supposed to say the bracha b'simcha. It's difficult. difficult to say the bracha b'simcha. But that's what the Gemara points out. Tzor v'yogan emtzor v'shem Hashem ekro, because Yeshua says so, v'shem Hashem ekro. You have the same shem Hashem ekro. Shem shemavarchem ala toivah, kach mavarchem ala ro. We believe that the ro and the toivah, everything comes men ha-shamayim, and everything is l'toivah. Hard to believe. How can you believe such a thing? But that's, we're supposed to believe that. Ani avdecha ben amosecha pitachto lemosei roi. I remember when I took a course in English literature here in the college. So we're reading the poems of John Donne. John Donne was a British galach. So half of his poems are all about Yoshka. He's dancing with Yoshka all the time. The other half of the poems are about his girlfriend. He's sleeping with his girlfriend. Mm-hmm. The same tzaddik is dancing with Yoshka, is sleeping in bed with his girlfriend. So he has in one of the lines, when he's dancing with Yoshka, his religious poems, so he has a line, enthrall me and free me, something like that. I want to become a slave to God, and when you become a slave to God, that's how you become free. So I remember one of the students pointed out, and so the Professor Fleischer was pointing out, what an interesting thought. So one of the students pointed out, that's what it says in Hallel. Ani avdecha ben amasech pitachta lemoseira, by becoming an ebed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's how a person becomes free. Pitachta lemoseira. En lucha ben chor lemishoisik b'Torah. Other people are slaves, they're enslaved to their desires. A person has, he's so used to drugs, he's so used to schnapps, he's so used to eating fattening foods, he keeps on eating and eating and eating. He's a slave to his desires. And a person becomes free from all of his shibudim if he becomes an Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he follows the Torah. Most of us don't follow the Torah. Most of us are overweight because we're eating things that we're not supposed to eat. And people eat things that people smoke cigarettes, they know they're going to die younger. They do it anyway. Most people are enslaved to their yetzaharas, to their desires. When a person is really on the Abdecha Ben HaMasecha, that's how you become pitach to the Messiah. That's how you become free. So that's what the Heilige John Donne gesagt. Enthrall me and free me. David HaMelech said it already in Tillim.
You talked about just before, that really everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's all the Torah. When we're learning some Inyan of Avelis, the Rashi says that the point of Avelis is to be tshuva, to realize tshuva, and the Rav's mahal is more that it's to encounter your emotions and to express, the tshuva, shloshim, etc., is to express sadness and to encounter it and to get to that level of some sort of catharsis through sadness. Is that like an ideal then, or is that just a weakness that man has, and therefore he's going to express his sadness even though he really shouldn't be sad? I mean, why do we encourage shiva and shloshim? A period of mourning, if really the chachila we should be.
The Gemara has
a neutral thing.
Yeah,
thing.
It should be, but it's like kindness rachmana patre. We're all going to cry. The Gemara says a person who cries when a tragedy occurs, a close relative dies at a young age. So the Gemara says, in a certain sense, it's apikursus. What do you mean? God does everything l'toiva. What are you crying about? So if the world is coming to an end, it's certainly l'toiva. But we can't control ourselves. So the Gemara says, Gimel Yamim Lebechi. For the first 3 days, we can't fault a person if he cries. But the Gemara says, end of Shabbos, if he controlled himself not to cry in the first 3 days, it's better. So this Fasemis points out on that Gemara, the end of Shabbos, that when the Gemara says in Moed Katan, that Gimel Yamim Lebechi means it's a heter, but it's not a chiyuv. Better would be if he has the attitude from the very beginning that everything is l'toivo and he shouldn't cry at all. But we're human beings, so we don't have such a munim.
For Tisha B'Av, let's say, Matin B'Simcha, when you mention Echnas Av, really it's all l'toivo. Why should we be Matin B'Simcha? Why should we be
Well, Churban Beis Hamikdash is a lessening of Kvod Shamayim. That is.
It's not
L'Tayva. That's not L'Tayva, yeah. This, the Goyim make fun of us. Ayel Heichem. Where is your God? So, in that sense, it's Zamiyoto Kvod Shamayim. That's a Zamiyoto Kvod Shamayim. But everything that Baruch Shalom does is L'Tayva. We believe it's L'Tayva. In the Sefer Tnuas HaMusa, they have this story that one of the Rabbanim, half of the Slabotki Yeshiva, they heard that the Russian government was going to draft them in the army. So half of the Yeshiva moved to Eretz Yisrael, the Chevron Yeshiva with Slabotki. So the son of one of the Russian Yeshiva passed away. I already forgot which one. And the son of the Mashgiach, I forgot already who it was. And he was a young, promising Talmid Chacham. He was just around 20 years old. So they made up when the funeral was going to be. And the father came to the funeral an hour late. So they thought it was so strange, because the Bali Musa was so makbid on wasting people's time, on being punctual. Couldn't understand. So in the middle of Shiva, someone asked him, how come he came so late to the funeral? So he said, because the Chazal say you have to recite the Brocha Dayan Ha'emes B'Simcha. And he says, his son just died. He's not B'Simcha at all. So he had to keep on chazering in his mind for an hour, Kol Ma'adav Rachmano L'Tavav, until he was able to say the Brocha of Dayan Ha'emes with a little Simcha. But how can you really have, you can't really have the Simcha. We're human beings. We're supposed to have Emuna. We don't have so much Emuna. Nedarai l'Hashem Hashalem Negdo no l'chol amoy. How do you translate negdo? So we usually translate neged amo, in the presence of a big crowd. Nedarai, I'll bring the korban toido l'chol b'asavach toido. Nedarai l'Hashem Hashalem, I took a neder to bring a korban toido, and I'll bring it in the presence of a big crowd. So the Netziv thinks that in his Haggadah, he thinks that the word negdo is miloshen Haggadah. I will tell over the niflois in the presence of a big crowd. Not the word negda milosha neged, keneged, in public, but rather I'll tell over the neflois, l'chol amo, milosha hagode. It's an interesting interpretation. Then we say, Halluas Hashem kol goyim shapchu kol hum, all the nations of the world will praise Hashem, because Hashem was so kind to us, kegobar alayin achazdai. So the Gemara asked himsochem, the nations of the world should praise God because He was kind to us. Why should they praise? Because He was kind to us. So the Gemara explains, we don't even know how many gzeiros ra'os they wanted to make against the Jewish people. They know what they had in mind, and many of their plans were thwarted. They fell through. So they should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because all the machshava l'ra'ah that they had to torture the Jewish people, much of it didn't come true. They know and we don't know. So they should praise Hashem because Kegov Alein Achaz. That's the Gemara in the end of Psochem, interprets the Pshat and the Psukim like that. We say at the end of the Hal, Evan Masra Banim Hoysa the Rosh Pino. A lot of times, the stone that the construction workers didn't want to use at all, that turned out to be the Rosh Pino. That's the most important, that's the cornerstone. The whole construction is based on that. So you can never tell. Sometimes there's a person, when you're growing up, when you go to school, this person, I think he's a nothing, he's a nobody, nothing's going to come out of him. And later on, he becomes a prominent person. Evan Masar Abonim Hasel Rosh Pino. So they have in this farm with the Pshetlach, so they say that Evan is a Rosh Tevis Nasa Odom Bitzalmenu. And the Bodim are the Malochim didn't want the Rebbein Shalom to create man. The Medrash says there was a whole dispute that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in the plural, Nasa Odom Bitzalmenu, Nasa, in the plural, there's only one God. So Akam says Nasa Odom Bitzalmenu. So the Medrash says HaKadosh Baruch Hu consulted, the Chumash writes, he consulted with the angels, even though they're much less intelligent than he is, to teach us the lesson, we should also consult with less intelligent people. You shouldn't always think that we're the smartest in the world and we don't have to consult with anybody else. Even the Rabban Shalom consulted with the Malachim, but then the Rabban Shalom didn't like what the Malachim said, so he outvoted him anyway. So there's a machlokes among the angels whether he should create man or not. So that's what some interpret. Eben masu abayim, the Malachim were opposed to the creation of man. Eben as a Rashi Tevis nasa adam etzalmenu, so man became in a certain sense a higher madrega than the Malachim. Hoysel Rosh Pino in the schus of Pino. Pino is a Rosh Tevis regarding giving tzedakah. Vesach tiptach nos and titan hanik tanik. It's a pshetl, but it's a nice idea that when a person gets used to giving tzedakah, he will grow. It's not just a mitzvah like all the mitzvahs. It has a strong effect on the person. Even masu abanim hoysel Rosh Pino. At the end of the hall, we say, Kel Hashem v'yor lanu yisruchag ba'ovois mat kairin samizbeach. What do you mean, v'yor lanu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu illuminates things for us? So the Gemara in Bav Metzia has a comment on the Pasuk in Baruch Hu Nafshi. Tosh eschir shebihi loylo, zeho el manzeh shedayim ala loylo. This world is like loylo. In what sense is it daim ala loylo? So the Mesil Sushorim writes in his Hakdomeh, Alamazeh is daima lalayla in two ways. Balayla can make two types of mistakes. You can see a person think that it's a lamppost, and see a lamppost think it's a person. Sometimes they make a mistake ligriyusa, sometimes they make a mistake limalyusa. So in this world, things are very confusing. You see a mitzvah, and people think, oh, that's a big avera, Zionism, the biggest avera in the world. And you see an avera, you think it's a mitzvah. You see a mitzvah, you think it's avera. People don't know right from wrong. So you have to have Hohera Neinim Sarasecha, you have to illuminate the Cheshka Salaila. Toshis Cheshka Vihilai, there's a Hohel Mazeh, things are very unclear. So we say Hohera Neinim Sarasecha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kel Hashem Bayar Elonu. He illuminates the world for us by giving us the Torah. He tells us what's right and what's wrong. A lot of times we can't figure out on our own what's right and what's wrong. We recite, whenever one is obligated to recite Hallel, so you recite Hallel Shalom. The Gemara says, Rab Ikla LeBovel, Rab got smicha from Rab Yudah Nosir, then he went to Bovel. Rab and Shmuel, they were both in Eretz Yisrael learning. Then they both moved to Bovel. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. They were in Eretz Yisrael. They both moved to Bovel because you have to supply the communities in Chutz Lo'etz with yeshivas, with Talmid HaChamin. So Rav, the Gemara has the Lashon, Rav, Biko Motzo v'goda b'geder. It was like the Wild West. The people were big Amoraitim. They didn't know any dinim, so he introduced a lot of harchokis and chumis and siogim. The people were religious. We live in a generation that a lot of people, they don't want to be observant. So then it's not going to help if you're going to make more chumris. But if you live in a generation that people do want to be religious, but they're Amoraitim, so if you introduce a couple of chumris, so that'll help get the people on the right road to observe the mitzvahs properly. Gemara says, a rab came to Bovel and they were saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh. And he had never heard of such a thing. Who ever heard of saying Halal on Rosh Chodesh? He was an adult already. He had smicha. So he was going to walk over to the chazan to Sovel Asakin. He was going to tell him, you don't say Halal on Rosh Chodesh. Came in the chazan, come a dal gediluge. He saw that they're skipping the third parak, and then they skip the fifth parak. So he realized that one kasha farem is the other. It's a meaning that they have. If they would think that it's Medina, then they would have said the whole halal. The fact that they're skipping is an indication that's only a meaning. So they said over from the Rishonim. Some of the Rishonim have this. The Gemara has in the end of Masechah Shabbos, Kolam Halal b'chol yom harezim acharif v'megadev. You're not permitted to say halal when you're not only b'chol yom, you're not allowed to say halal when you're not obligated to, even if you're not going to say a bracha. Not supposed to say halal. Sukkah de Zimra is that you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over Teva, but Halal you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the Nisim. So if you say Halal b'chol yom, you're implying as if the Rabban Shalom, we want the Rabban Shalom to make Nisim all the time. The Pasuk says three times in Tanakh, Chuk Nasim b'lo Yavar, the Rabban Shalom makes Chukya Teva. He doesn't want to violate his own Chukya Teva. He wants to be a Kel Mistat there. He wants to hide behind the Teva. He doesn't want to keep on making Nisim. So it's not right to say halal when you're not mechuyev to. It implies as if you haven't done any nisim for us lately. We want some more nisim. That's not proper to do that. So any day when you're not mechuyif to say halas, it's only a minute, so you say chatzi halal. That's what the Rambam says on Chalamite Pesach also. You skip part of the halal, so the Rambam thinks because it's only a minute. Medina, you're not mechuyif to. But the Mishnah quotes the Ramban who disagrees, says no. He thinks that halal on Yontif is the Raisa. Halal Chalamite Pesach is the Rabbanan. If you hold the halal on Yontif is only the Rabbanan, so what's Chalamite Pesach going to be a lower level? So the Ramban is forced into the corner over there. Ramban is forced into assuming the halal yontav is their raisa. That's how he defends the Bahag. He says halal yontav is their raisa. Halal chalamite pesach is the Rabban. Halal amash chedish, that's only a minig. But halal chalamite pesach, the Ramban thinks is the Rabban. He still you skip. So the Ramban doesn't hold from this hezbah. But other Rishonim say like that. In the Ramam like that. Whenever you say chatzi halal, that's a dead giveaway that it's only a minig. If it would have been Medina, you would have said halal shalom. You skip part of the halal not to violate the din of ha'mahal b'chol yom ha'reza mecharef ha'megadef. On Shabbos Chanukah, we have, when there's one Shabbos Chanukah, we have a special haftar from Zechariah, I mentioned the Rashi in the beginning of Zechariah has a comment. Zechariah is the most obscure Novi. If you don't have a tradition, you don't know what in the world he's talking about. So you have the first part of the Haftarah of first Shabbos Chanukah. He has a Marahanavua about the Yeshua Kohen Gadol, and he's wearing begodim tzoim, he's wearing filthy clothing, and the Nevua has it, they're going to hasira begodim atzoim ve'alov ha'bishosam machlo tzos, they're going to take off the filthy begodim, they're going to put on clean begodim. What in the world is that all about? So the Medrash interprets begodim atzoim is something outside of his own body. So his children were intermarried. The Kohen Gadol's children were intermarried. So the children are intermarried. That's something bichutz legufo. So the Navi was told that that'll be taken care of. The children will divorce their wives. Ezra came back and made, when they came back in the beginning of the Bais Sheni period, many of the people were intermarried. So Ezra was screaming and he had a whole kenis and he had everybody to do tshuva and he got a lot of people to divorce their wives. So that's what it means. Asir abgadim hatzayim me'alecha v'hal b'shoy samach lotzos. The children will divorce their wives. Rav Soloveitchik said, over the name Rav Chaim, what does it have to do with the Kohen Gadol? Takadov v'mishiv chutz legufa, it's his children. So he thought that on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol has to say vidui three times. So the first time, chip bada u'biyad besa, besa z'uishto. Basis of which though he doesn't have to have any, the Kohen Gadol has to be married on Yom Kippur. That's the first Mishnah in Yuma. Tosfos Rishonim on the first Mishnah has a suffix is a ma'akeh b'di'evet. What if the Kohen Gadol is not married? So he can't say chotosi avion p'shati aniu basi. He's a single guy. So that's a shaila. If that's in Tosfos Rishonim, is that ma'akeh b'di'evet? Pashto says it is ma'akeh. So that, but he doesn't have to have children. If he's married, as long as he has a wife, it's good. But what if he does have children? So maybe they're also included in Beisto. If he's married without children, it's enough. Beis is a Ishto. But maybe if he has children, maybe they're included. What's enough, Kamina? If the Kohen Gadol is married to a girl who's an apikor, is Dina Ka'akum, so we have a din, Zevach Hashem Tayeva. He can't be Makar Rekorban on behalf of an apikoris. On behalf of a goyish apikoris, if the goyish apikoris wants to bring a korban lelekei Yisrael, we will accept it. A Jewish apikoris is worse. We usually say apikoris dina ka'akum, but if a non-Jew comes and he brings a korban l'shamayim, we do accept it. But if a Jewish apikoris brings a korban, we don't accept it. Zerach Hashem Tayevam. So the Shad is both. The Kohen Gadol is married on Yom Kippur all year long. Doesn't matter. He can be married to a girl as an apikoris. But on Yom Kippur, he has to say the bida v'chipa bad bad besa. The korban is offered on behalf of the Kohen Gadol and his wife. So if the wife is a marsha, says Zevach Hashem Te'eva, so he can't do the avodah in Yom Kippur. So the shaila is, what if his wife is okay? His wife is beseda, but his children are married to non-Jewish women. A man marries a non-Jewish woman, that's like shmad. In Shulchan Aruch, they have a meaning that when a man marries a non-Jewish girl, the family said shiva. Like if a man becomes a mishumah, the family said shiva. So the question is, can Yeshua Kohen Gadol, can he do the avodah on Yom Kippur? So that's what the Navi Zechariah has told Benavua. By the time it comes Yom Kippur, it'll be straightened out. They will divorce their wives before Yom Kippur comes. Ezra's going to do a good job. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said, B'shem Rav Chaim, the Pshat and the Pasuk. Then the Pasuk continues to say that this is the role of the Kohen Gadol. V'gam tishmor es chatzeiroi. It's the responsibility of the Kohen Gadol to supervise everything in the Beis HaMikdash. That's why the Rambam writes in Hilchos Klei HaMikdash that you appoint Memanim Kohen Gadol and quota v'sefrato shel Kohen Gadol to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long and to supervise the Hakrovas HaKarbonos. V'gam ato tishmor es chatzeiroi. That's one of the responsibilities of the Kohen Gadol. All year long you don't need a Kohen Gadol to do Avodah. On Yom Kippur you need a Kohen Gadol. Otherwise, you don't need a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol has to be makrev chabit, a Kohen Gadol every day, but he doesn't have to be makrev, he has to pay for it. A Kohen Hedid can be makrev it, he has to be the bala karban rofen on his behalf. But the Kohen Gadol is supposed to be in the Beis HaMikdash all day long, supervising the hakrovas hakarbonos. I remember Rav Soloveitchik told us over a story. This story is in one of the tshuvas for him. I think the Mari Beirav is blind on one eye. So once he was going mountain climbing with his Talmidim for exercise, and then in the middle of the mountain climbing they decided to take a break and they were sitting on a gigantic boulder. So one of the Talmidim asked the Mari Beirav permission to crack a joke. So he said, okay. So he says, there were Mari Beirav with three students were sitting on a big boulder. Mari Beirav is blind on one eye, so he says, I see Alev Anachal Shiva Einoim. Sitting on one big boulder, I see seven eyes, because the Rebbe was blind on one eye. So he said, good. He liked it. He liked the joke. So the Achrayim, one of the Achrayim from the 1500s, one of the Achrayim has, are you permitted? I remember once I was out of town, so they advertised Yom Kippur, Sukkot was Sunday night. First day Sukkot was Sunday night. So the people who were selling the aluminum advertised in the Jewish newspaper, V'lokachtem lachem b'yam harishon. Everybody should come on Sunday to buy the dalaminim. So the yeshiva guy said, apikursus, apikursus. Someone else said, what apikursus? It's a melitza, v'lokachtem lachem b'yam harishon. Come on Sunday and buy. Are you permitted to use a pasuk as a melitza when you know clearly that it doesn't mean that? So the Achrayim have a, one of the Achrayim has a tshuva. I forgot, one of the early Achrayim, in the 1500s, I think, or the early 1600s. So they write over this story, Alev Anachal Sheva Einoim. So you see, it's mutter, permissible. I remember they once asked Rabbi David Cohen in Flatbush, he's supposed to be a big bucky. He never heard of that story. So somehow his son heard, I said over this story in a shiur. So his son called me up to ask me, where does it say that? I just heard it from Rav Soloveitchik. Then they looked and they checked it up. So it's in one of the Tshuvas Svarim, they quote this story. But the main story is the second half of the Haftarah. That's the connection with Chanukah. He has a vision of a menorah zov kula, beautiful golden menorah. And Ugula al Rosha, there's a big pool of olive oil. And there are two trees, Shnaim Zesim, there are two trees, olive trees. Two, the olives are falling down by themselves, falling into a contraption, they're getting squeezed out, and the oil fills up this gulal rosha, this big pool, puddle of oil, and then there are 49 streams of oil flowing into the seven kane hamnoira, seven streams of oil flowing into each one of the cups of the menorah on top. What is it supposed to represent? So he says to the Malach HaDover boy, Zechariah Nabi tells the Malach HaDover boy, what is it supposed to represent? So he says, Halo Yadaitu, you know what it represents. He says, no, Lo Adonai, I don't know what it represents. He goes back and forth, and he does know, he doesn't know. And when you finish the Haftarah, he still don't know what it represents. Lo B'chai V'lo B'chai Kim Baruchi, what does it represent? So it continues. If you look in Treyoser, the next, a few psukim later, it says, Shnaim Zeisen, the two olive trees, represent Shnei B'nei HaYitzer, Ha'omdim L'pnei Hashem, the two olive men. Who are the two elements? Rashi on Treyosa quotes from the Medrash. It refers to the Melech and the Malchus Beis Dabur who is supposed to be anointed B'Shem and Amishcha. The Kohen Gadol is supposed to be anointed B'Shem and Amishcha. And it's supposed to represent a beautiful golden period of Beis HaMikdash, a golden menorah. And everything happens by itself. Everything goes V'Gishmirt. They don't have to work hard. The olives fall down by themselves. They get squeezed up by themselves. The 49 streams. Everything goes But the Novi Zechariah knows that it doesn't correspond to reality. By Sheni was machlokes from the beginning to the end. There was trouble for Napi Kursim. From day number one, they had trouble. They introduced Menor the Mount Harlem. We spoke yesterday about it. So he asks them, Va'el Adoni. So he answers, Haloyada, you know what it represents. He says, yeah, I know what it represents. Mishnei represents Kuna Gedoyla in Malchus Beis David, but it doesn't correspond to reality. There was no Malchus Beis David. The whole Bayi Sheni, there was no Malchus Beis David. The Kuna Gedoyla, they had Merubeh Begadim. They didn't have Mashiach B'Shem and Amishcha. The Begadim is the Shem and Amishcha at the end of the Bayi Rishon period. The whole Bayi Sheni, the period, there was no Shem and Amishcha. So it doesn't correspond. The Shnei B'nei HaYitzu, Hom Dim Lefnei Hashem, the Malchus Beis David. The Kuna Gedoyla doesn't correspond. So he says, no. He answers him, what does that mean? So Rab Chaim interpreted based on the Rambam in Hilchus Beis Abchira. The Rambam says that even though Kedushas Eretz Yisrael was Batla, but Kedushas HaMikdash was not Batla. Machlokes in the Gemara, where the Kitchel lost love or not. So the Rambam paskens it was Kitchel lost love. From the day that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, it was never Batla. Why? Kedushas HaOretz was based on Kibush. You had to have kibush rabim, and you had to have sheva shekosha v'sheva shechilku. The chalukas haaretz was the gemara of the kibush. So since the Rambam explains, since the kedusha rishayna in the days of Yeshua Binun, the kedusha rishayna rested on the kibush. So once the kibush was undone, when the Nebuchadnezzar came, the Babylonian armies conquered Eretz, they took away the whole government from the Jewish people. So the kedusha disappeared into thin air, vanished into thin air, because the kedusha rested on the kibush. Masha'ini came to Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says, Lo b'chai v'lo b'choch. The Kedusha HaMikdash was not based on, the Rambam says this, the Kedusha HaMikdash was not based on chayil b'choch, wasn't based on kibush, it was based on hashvas hashchina, so therefore, kim beruchi, so therefore it's going to be kitchel osi lo. So that's what it says in the Rambam. So Rab Chaim interpreted over here, it's a question, a little bit doichik, Chaim interpreted, the Malach is showing him in the Mara HaNevuah a vision of the third Beis HaMikdash. He said, but it doesn't correspond. I'm building, beholding now by the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash, three Nevim, Charas Chai Malachi with the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period. So he said, it doesn't correspond to what's happening now. What do you give me Chizuk now? We're not holding by the third. So he says, the Kedusha Shnia of Eretz Yisrael was not based on Chayav B'Koach. The Rambam says, why is the Kedusha Shnia Loi Batlo? Only the Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael was Batla. Kedusha Shni was not Batla. So the Rambam says, because the Kedusha Rishon was based on Kibush. Once the Kibush was undone, the Kedusha was undone. The Kedusha Shni was based on Chazoke. So what does the word Chazoke mean? So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer interprets in his Eben Ozel, in his Sefer, Chazoke means Kinyah Chazoke. Just like Karka is Niknes, because of B'shtarma Chazoke, Kinyah Chazoke. So Rabbi Gorin once visited the yeshiva after when he was, before he was chief rabbi, he visited the yeshiva after the Mivsat Sinai, after the Sinai campaign. I think he was the chief chaplain in the army at that time. So he gave a whole shiur in Rav Soloveitchik's class. We were learning Sanhedrin then. So he gave a whole shiur. So he was assuming like Rabbi Zalman Meltzer that Chazoka means King Chazok. Rav Soloveitchik disagreed with him. He says it's wrong, 100% wrong. The Jews never lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael, that we didn't need a King Chazok. Rav Soloveitchik says Chazoka doesn't, when the Rambam says Chazoka, he doesn't mean Kinyan Chazoka. Eretz Yisrael is the one and only thing that's not subject to Kibush Mochama. When the Goyim take it away from us, we don't lose our bailus, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. He swore to them, a shvu means I'll call upon him, we're not going to lose our ownership. So he thought that Chazoka means the Jews moved into Eretz Yisrael. Like Cheskes Habatim, Jews moved into Eretz Yisrael, and the Kedusha Shni of Eretz Yisrael spread out from the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash had Kedusha, and the Jews moved around the Beis HaMikdash, the whole Yishuv centered around Yerushalayim, so the Kedusha HaMikdash spread out. So just like the Kedusha HaMikdash, the Rambam writes, Lo b'cha v'lo b'cha kim beruchi, so too the Kedusha Shni of Eretz Yisrael, which was an extension of the Kedusha HaMikdash, was also Lo b'cha v'lo b'cha. That's what the Rambam meant to explain why the Kedusha Shni was Loi Batla. Kedusha Rishon was Batla because it's based, Kedusha Rishon of Eretz Yisrael was Batla because it was based on Chayal B'Koch, based on Kibush. The Kibush was Zandah, Kedusha Shni was based on Chazake. Chazake means the Jews moved in, so the Kedusha HaMikdash spread out So the Malach tells the Novi Zechariah, I'm showing you a vision of the Bayis HaShlishi. What kind of a Nechama is it that you're building now the Bayis HaSheni? And everybody was crying. The younger people were dancing and singing and clapping, and the older people were crying. And it says there was some of the older people crying. You couldn't hear the singing of the younger people. There were some of the people who were sad. How does this compare to the first Beis HaMikdash? So the Novi Zechariah tells them, don't worry. He tells them, the whole binyan by this Rav Soloveitchik gathered this part on. The whole binyan of the Bayis Sheni is like laying a cornerstone for the Bayis HaShlishi. Bayis HaShlishi will be a hemshech of the Bayis HaSheni. Bayis Sheni was not a hemshech of the Bayis Rishon. The Gemara has in the third perek in Moed Kotan, there were Kohanim who were 95 years old, and they had already brought a minchas chinuch. A kohen has to bring a minchas chinuch before his makriv karbonos. What if he does a carbon before bringing a minchas chinuch? So there's a machlekes rishonim. What the gear says in the sifro, whether the karbonos are possible by the Eben or not. But l'chatchila for sure, he's supposed to bring a minchas chinuch. So the Gemara has a pasuk from Yecheskel. Those kohanim who brought a minchas chinuch and the Bayis Rishon, and they live to see the Bayis Sheni, have to bring another minchas chinuch, because the Bayis Sheni is not a hemshech and the Bayis Rishon. But if there would be a kohen who brought a minchas chinuch and Bayis Sheni, and he's still alive after 2,000 years, we don't have anybody who is still alive, you wouldn't have to bring another minchas chinuch and the Bayis HaShlishi, because the Bayis HaShlishi is a hemshech of the Bayis HaSheni. The whole Bayis HaSheni was like a hotzi yisav and a rosha. It's like laying a cornerstone. So that's what the Malach tells Zechariah HaNavi. I'm showing you a vision of the Bayis HaShlishi, which is going to be a hemshech of the Bayis HaSheni. And that's what Chagai also says the same. Says Chazak Rubav of Chazak Hamaris. Everybody should feel good because God liya kvod abayis as a hachem in arishon. And what way is abayis sheni greater than the kabbad of the abayis? It wasn't greater. So Gemara beginning of Baba Basa has a machlekes Rabbi Shmuel. What way was God liya kvod abayis as a? So one opinion is it was taller. One opinion is it lasted for longer. So that's called God liya kvod abayis as a. So on that Gemara and Av Gimel and Baba Basra, the Rashash's son has a oris in the end of the Masechta. He mentioned it the other day. So Ramatiso Strashan, he had a big library, famous library. Matir. The Strashan library was the son of the Rashash. And then the government took over the whole library. The communist government took over everything. So he has in his oris on Baba Basra, he quotes a passage from the Zohar. What does it mean? Godly a quote, Habayis, Hazeh, Ha'achron. We mentioned that Tesis Yontif was asked the question, what do we pray for the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash? The Novi said the Bayis Sheni was the Bayis Achron. So Ramati Hirshtashon quotes from the Zohar, that's not the Pshat in the Pasuk. Golia quote, Habayis Hazeh hyphen Ho Achron, the second, third. The Bayis Hazeh is the second Beis HaMikdash, but the third is going to be a Hemshech of the second. The third will outshine the glory of the first, but not the second. But the second is Haskalah of the third. So the Novi Zechariah is saying, lo b'chav, lo b'chav, he's saying the same thing that Chagai said, that they shouldn't feel bad, even though the Bayis Sheni is missing Eretz above the Yikovda, it's missing the hay at the end, missing so many things, because it's gonna develop, it's gonna be the Bayis Shlishi will outshine the glory of the Bayis Rishon. So that's what the Nevuah means. Obscure Nevuah. Okay. So what's the story? Sunday there's no yeshiva, so I will not give a shiur. Monday morning I have to leave early. There's a function in the OU, so I'd like to give shiur early in the morning. So try to come by 9:15. Beli neder.
I looked at the Gemara. The bracha it says Yom Sheyachid Gomer by Mishal. It doesn't say explicitly Hanukkah.
No.
Takes to and the Ramban. He says the Mitzvah he calls like he says that Gemara is talking about Hanukkah. Lishitasa.
No, the Gemara says Yom Pesulim.
But that's
good. I'd say the Rabbanon.
Right.
So the Kabbalah should say
Pesulim. So why does Taisus interpret the Gemara talking about Rosh Chodesh? Yom Sheyachid Gomer by Mishal.